WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Whoa, is it Friday already? TGIF, ladies and gents, welcome to another fantastic edition of Current Sports with me, Al Martin. We've got a great show to close out the work week for you. In just a sec, we'll be talking about the MSU women's basketball team. They got a big win over rival Michigan at the Big Ten tournament yesterday. We'll recap that game and also give you a score update as they are right now in live action in round two of that very tourney, taking on Maryland. We'll give you a score update all the way up until 2 p.m. We'll also give you a preview of the MSU men's basketball game as they take on Indiana on the road tomorrow at noon. We'll have Reflection Friday, chat about the Pistons and Red Wings, and also give you an update concerning former MSU quarterback Brian Hoyer, as well as give away not one, but two pairs of tickets to tonight's and tomorrow night's MSU hockey series versus Wisconsin. Find out how to win in just a sec. But as always, let's start this current sports party like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this March 6th. All right, ladies and gents, let's start with the MSU women's basketball team. They moved on in the Big Ten tourney yesterday after defeating the University of Michigan 69-49. Ariel Powers recorded her 24th double-double of the year by recording 16 points and 15 rebounds. My goodness, Michigan State opened the game with a 22-4 run and led 46-22 at halftime. And what makes this win so much more amplified, I guess you can say, is that Michigan State actually lost the regular series season series to Michigan, which Michigan won both games, but Michigan State enacted some revenge, biting Michigan in the tourney. How about that? Now, they are in action right now as we speak. It was actually a 12:30 tip time as the Spartans are taking on number one seed Maryland. We'll keep you updated throughout the hour on the final score of that one. All right, a day after Brandon Dawson took a shot to the head against Purdue, Michigan State officially listed the forward as questionable for Saturday's game. Now, Dawson took an elbow from Purdue's Isaac Haas with 8:38 left in the first half, and Tom Izzo said he was just out of it at halftime. Now, Dawson will be reevaluated before Saturday's game against Indiana. We'll give you a preview of that game in just a sec. All right, the Michigan State hockey team finds itself in contention for the conference title with just four games left to play. Now, it will be the Spartans' first conference title since the 2000-2001 season. MSU begins a series against Wisconsin tonight at Munn Ice Arena at 6 p.m. The Big Ten rivals play again on Saturday evening. We'll be giving away tickets to tonight's game and tomorrow night's game. You'll find out how to win in just a sec. Keep it locked right here, folks. All right, girls high school basketball action is also tonight for the district finals. How about that? Exciting times. Now, some key games in the Lansing area includes Lansing-Waverly against DeWitt, Holt versus Battle Creek Lakeview, and Hazlitt against Lansing Catholic. Tip-off is at 7 p.m. for all of those games. All right, folks, well, the nominees for Michigan's Mr. Basketball Award have been officially announced. Now, Muskegon's Deontay Davis, Saginaw Arthur Hills, Eric Davis, and Lansing Everett's, yes, Trevor Manuel, are the big three featured on the smallest crop of finalists in its 35-year history. Now, Deontay Davis is signed to Michigan State. Eric Davis will be headed to Texas. And, of course, Trevor Manuel is taking his talents to the University of Oregon. Now, the Mr. Basketball winner will be announced Monday, March 23rd, at the Detroit Free Press office. All right, well, the Detroit Tigers, they suffered its first loss of spring yesterday. How about that? Falling to the Atlanta Braves 6-4, the final of that one. Now, starting pitcher Alfredo Simone threw two shutout innings, while incorporating a new pitch, a 56-mile-per-hour slow split. Now the team is back in action this afternoon when David Price takes the mound against the New York Mets at 1:10 p.m. We'll also give you an update of that one throughout this hour. All right, and the Detroit Pistons, they look to snap a four-game losing streak when they travel to Houston to battle the Rockets. Now, the team sits at 3.5 games behind the final playoff seed. Tip-off is set for 8 p.m. tonight in that one. And, of course, the Red Wings. They are also in action. They are carrying a three-game winning streak into tonight's matchup with the Calgary Flames. Now, game time is at 7:30 p.m. at the Joe. The new-look Wings are 5 points behind the Canadiens for first place in the Atlantic Division. And last but certainly not least, the Lions have been at work when it comes to signing a kicker. Yes, Matt Prater. They actually signed Matt Prater to a 3-year contract. Prater brought stability to the Lions kicking game. He is the fourth pending free agent to re-up with Detroit. The deal is worth $9 million. Well, those are your current Sports Quick Hit headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those, call in right now, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at AlMartinWKAR. Well, without further ado, let's start the show. All right, folks. Man, oh, man. Can you believe that it's Friday already? Wow. Time flies when you're having fun. We've been having a lot of fun on the show throughout this entire week. It's been a great one. I got to give a shout out to our outstanding guests who have been on the show throughout this week. Graham Couch was with us on Monday of the Lansing State Journal. Graham is actually out in Illinois right now as we speak, covering the MSU women's basketball team's run in the Big Ten tournament. Of course, a big, 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 big win over Michigan yesterday. I mean, you know, having Michigan State and Michigan, whatever sport it is, I always say, whatever sport the Spartans and Wolverines match up in, it is always an intense, intense game. And I tell you what, Michigan State just came out and just brought a mollywop to the Wolverines in Illinois yesterday. You know, they played with a lot of anger in that game, seeing as though the Wolverines swept Michigan State throughout the regular season. So there was a lot of added incentive throughout that game. But Graham is actually out there right now. Graham was actually with us on Monday. Also, TJ Hawkins, he joined us on Tuesday. Of course, the head coach of the Lansing Waverly girls basketball team as they now compete for a district title tonight. How about that? Also, Wednesday, we had Steve Fenimore, the head coach of the East Lansing boys basketball team. I believe they took a shot on the chin against Waverly last night. And also we had Chris Haller of MLive.com join us to give us a preview and sort of a synopsis on the world of Mid-Michigan High School hoops. So thanks a lot, Chris. So we've had some outstanding guests throughout the week. Want to give a shout-out, as I customarily do on Friday's show. I'll give you a quick current sports TV update as well, folks. Of course, this week we were supposed to have the Okemos High School hockey team in the house. I was certainly excited to have them this week, but due to some circumstances at the beginning of the week, they had to push their Tuesday game to Wednesday at 3 p.m., which they actually won. So they continue their incredible postseason run for a state title. So we couldn't have them on this week. But depending on what happens this weekend, I actually just talked to the head coach via email and to other team personnel this morning. And depending on what happens tomorrow, they could be playing again on Wednesday next week. So we'll keep you posted, folks. And again, it'll be an evergreen taping, but we'll keep you posted on whether or not we can get Okemos in the house. I'm actually definitely rooting for them, but if they do lose, hey, we'll definitely have them on the TV show, okay? But just want to give you an update on that, guys. Also, right now, we might as well open up our phone lines right now. Again, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. That's the number to call in, and we're going to make this real simple. The number one and two caller will win a pair of MSU hockey tickets to tonight's, and I guess we can have caller number one choose which day they want to go to, because Michigan State, of course, they have a weekend series against the Wisconsin at Monice Arena. And again, the Spartans, just heard it in our Quick Hit headliners, the Spartans are competing for that Big Ten title. It's getting really, really tight. Really, really tight as the season now winds down. But if you want to win tickets to either one of those games, the one tonight or tomorrow night, Call in right now. Callers number 1 and 2 will win a pair of tickets. Go out and take a friend to the game. It's always an exciting time at Monice Arena. So, again, the number to call is 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Our engineer for today, Isaac, will be giving me an update on exactly who wins those tickets. So, phone lines are open, folks. All right, well, we've got a hot show in store for you all. Again, later on, we'll have Reflection Friday. We'll talk about the Pistons. We'll talk a little Wings. We'll talk about Brian Hoyer leaving Cleveland. It's going to be an interesting show filled with a lot of discussion, and I encourage you all to weigh in on that discussion, ladies and gents. But I want to start the show today by talking about some big, big news out of the world of college basketball. Actually, just got this news not too long ago. I would assume, let's look at the timeline, about an hour before Current Sports actually took your airwaves at 1 p.m., folks. And I'm not surprised, and I really agree with the move here, but if you haven't heard, the NCAA has decided to suspend Syracuse basketball coach Jim Boeheim for 9 ACC games and has taken away scholarships as a result of a multi-year investigation into the university athletic programs. Now, this is a direct statement from the NCAA. They said, quote, "Over the course of a decade, Syracuse University did not control and monitor its athletic programs, and its head men's basketball coach failed to monitor his program," end quote. Now, Syracuse's penalties also include a 5-year probation and for the school to vacate all wins in which ineligible men's basketball students played in 2004 to 2005, 2005 to 2006, 2006 to 2007, and then it jumps to 2010 to 2011 and 2011 to 2012. Wow. 5-year probation and for the school to vacate all wins in which ineligible men's basketball students played in that time period, in those time periods. And also, ineligible football players in which they played from 2004 to 2006 and 2006 to 2007. Wow. So basically 2004 to 2007 for football students. I mean, that's unbelievable. And in addition, it doesn't just stop there, folks. In addition, the NCAA agreed to accept the university's decision for the men's basketball team to not participate in any postseason games this year, including the ACC tournament. So if you remember, we actually talked about that earlier here on Current Sports, the program saying, hey, you know, we're actually going to take ourselves out of the NCAA tournament this period. We will not participate in any postseason games, including the ACC tournament and so on and so forth. And the NCAA said that the violators, which were self-reported by Syracuse dating back to 2001, included academic misconduct, taking extra benefits, the failure to follow its drug policy, and impermissible booster activity. Wow. So the NCAA has completely laid down the hammer on Syracuse University, folks. And I totally agree with it. I totally agree. I think the NCAA got it right here. And, you know, this is a 10-year investigation we're talking about here, folks. I mean, and you know, the NCAA, they finished this 10-year investigation into Syracuse Athletics in late October of last year. And, of course, Boeheim and football coach Scott Schaefer were among the school officials to appear before the NCAA's Committee on Infractions. It's very interesting because, you know, and, you know, this goes dating back to a conversation we had earlier here on Current Sports as well. You know, it's always, it was always a thing for me when I was in college. It was always a talk amongst my buddies, amongst my friends in college, you know, whether or not athletes, you know, kind of get, you know, I guess you can say looked at in a different light when it comes to their academics, just because they're athletes. Now, more so, it depends on the sport, of course, you know, the big time football players, the big time guys who hit the hardwood, those are the two sports that really generate the most money for Division I college, especially a college like a Syracuse University. It was always talks among my boys, like, you know, and you know, I would have classes with certain athletes and so on and so forth. And, you know, I would always talk to a few friends of mine and says, you know, oh, man, you know, to be a big-time athlete here at a Big Ten university, man, I bet they don't even have to study, man. The professors probably give them, you know, a pass on everything. It was always rumored. You know what I mean? It always talked. We didn't have any solid proof on it, but it's always been a rumor. And to see it now come to fruition at a university like Syracuse, I mean, it's really in your face at this point. And again, this is a 10-year investigation. So the NCAA really made sure that they crossed their T's, dotted all of their I's, and researched as to exactly what happened. And, you know, the punishment fit the crime, if you ask me. Because anytime, as a head coach, as the head of an organization, anytime you say that you don't have full knowledge of a situation in which your students are taking classes, getting passes on certain classes, and you don't know about it, I think that's just a load of crap, if you ask me. I think Jim Boeheim definitely had an inkling and knew what was going on. And the same goes for Scott Schaefer. I think both of those individuals, I think when you're the head of a basketball team, a football team, no matter what sport it is, it's your job. It is your duty to make sure that your students, your student athletes, are not only handling their business on the field or the hardwood or whatever sport it may be, but also in the classroom as well. And when you take shortcuts, you better believe, I mean, eventually you're going to get caught. And that's exactly what happened here. In the end, NCAA got it right. And how this will cripple the Syracuse program, I mean, just looking from a basketball perspective here, I mean, you're talking about 12 scholarships in total. That's 3 scholarships that Syracuse will not have for the next 4 years. I mean, just think about, you know, the amount of spaces there are on a basketball roster. You take away 3 scholarships per year, I mean, that's a blow. That is going to be a huge blow to your program. You're at least taking about 30% of productivity from your roster that you could have had. So, you know, it's disheartening that this has happened for Syracuse. You wish it didn't happen because you hate seeing things like this happen in sports. But it is a harsh reality. And a coach like Jim Boeheim now, I mean, Jim Boeheim is a legend. You know, he is a staple when it comes to the game of basketball, folks. He's had unbelievable success at the Division I college basketball realm. And for this to now happen, I think, you know, this is going to take a big hit on his legacy. When it's all said and done for Jim Boeheim, this will be one of those things that are constantly brought up. And, you know, I kind of look at it with the whole situation with Jim Tressel, you know, at Ohio State, or even Pete Carroll, for that matter, at USC. When things like this happen, your reputation takes a bit of a hit. A big one, for that matter. Especially in this case where Jim Boeheim, because rarely do we see stories where you talk about the academic realm of sports at the college level. You know, with the situation with Jim Tressel and Pete Carroll and things of the past, I mean, you've heard about athletes taking extra benefits, getting extra money on the side, so on and so forth. But rarely do you actually find hard proof about athletes at the college level getting a pass when it comes to their academics. It's something that's always been rumored. I'm pretty sure students out there are listening to this show right now. And I've talked to them, students who actually work on this show here at Current Sports. They talk about amongst themselves and say, oh man, you know, if I'm a big time athlete, man, do I even have to go to class? Because of the stardom that comes with that. And, you know, there's other negative things that also come with that, you know, especially if you have a bad game and so on and so forth. I mean, having that negative scrutiny sometimes as a big-time Division I athlete. But, you know, there's always rumored about the benefits that an athlete gets when they're walking on a college campus. And then really, if that student part of the student athlete kind of gets shoved under the rug. And now we're starting to see hard proof here. Well, we have hard proof here that student athletes, depending on the university, again, we only know right now of a case right now at Syracuse University. It's actually another investigation taking place at North Carolina into that same notion about student athletes taking classes, getting passes by the professors that a normal student wouldn't have gotten, and that investigation is still pending. But now we have hard proof here of the NCAA enacting punishment on a university for blurring those lines. And it makes you wonder. It makes me wonder as a journalist, as a broadcaster, and you as a fan of the college game, you as a casual sports fan and listener, it makes you wonder now just how influent this is. How prevalent is this situation in college sports? If Syracuse got caught with, you know, with this going on, how many other universities are doing this? How many? How many other programs are involved in a situation like this? And, you know, there is a flip side to this as well, because, you know, there are kids who are on athletic programs who do the right thing. And that's the flip side of this thing. Because, you know, there are basketball players on the Syracuse men's basketball team who go to class, who study hard, who get the grades, who don't take extra benefits, who are the prime example of what a student athlete should be. But unfortunately, with a situation like this, a few rotten apples can spoil the entire bunch. And that's exactly what you have here. And again, Jim Boeheim, it has to take a lot of responsibility for this. And again, this isn't just a basketball thing here. Again, this is also, you know, the hammer is being laid down on the football team as well. They're calling for, the NCAA is also including a 5-year probation and for the school to vacate all wins in which eligible men's basketball students play from a certain time period and football students played during a certain time as well. So the hammer is being laid down on the two money-making sports for your university, and it is going to certainly cripple this team for a while. What do you think about it, folks? 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We'll be taking your calls all the way up until 2 p.m. Isaac, do we have any ticket winners for right now?
Yeah, Al, so far we actually have one person, so there's still tickets available if people want to call in. But gotcha. Cheryl already won a pair, so.
Congratulations, Cheryl. So what game did she choose to go to, did she say?
We're not sure just yet. We'll find out after the show.
Well, right now she has her picking, I guess. All right, so we do have two more tickets for any of you out there who want to go see the MSU hockey team in action this weekend, starting tonight against Wisconsin. Call in right now, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We actually have a caller right now on line one. It's our good friend Ray. How you doing, Ray?
My friend, I ain't been able to talk to you for a few days.
Yeah, how you doing, bud? You been all right?
Well, I wondered what's going on with the Spartans there. Dawson, has he been hurt, or he just doesn't look like he's been playing the last 4 or 5 games since he massacred the bullies down there in Ann Arbor?
Well, Dawson, I mean, really the only game that he's really missed for an extended time was that last game at the Breslin Center in which Michigan State got a big win over Purdue. He got a forearm to the head, courtesy of course, Haas of Purdue, and he went out that game. We didn't see him the rest of the game. He actually, we tried to interview him in the locker room after that game. He wasn't taking any interviews, so we don't know if it was a concussion or was he just dazed or confused. And right now he is listed as questionable for tomorrow's noon game against Indiana. So we don't really know an update right now, but it was that forearm to the head during that game against Purdue 2 days ago.
Well, are they in the tournament? I mean, do they need a couple wins in this Big Ten tournament, or you think they're all right now?
No, they're good now. I think they're good right now, Ray, because they reached that magic number of 20 wins. If you look at it statistically, a Tom Izzo team that has reached, or any MSU men's basketball team for that matter, that has reached 20 wins against the certain opponents that Michigan State has had so far this year, if you reach 20, you're pretty much solidified to make the tourney. So Michigan State is in right now.
Well, you know, I was watching the Northwestern Wildcats against the Bullies the other night. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, I was really worried. We were down by 12, and what a great comeback. I mean, some of the things that Beilein did, I imagine they're pretty mad down there with his coaching philosophy in that game.
Well, first off, Ray, for those who don't know, Ray calls U of M the Bullies, to clarify, if any of our listeners out there wondering who the Bullies are. But, yeah, like you said, I mean, Michigan is just closing out those games in late-game situations. You saw a lot of mental mistakes in that game against Northwestern. I mean, Max Bielfeld throwing the ball out of bounds, you know, hitting the baseline, giving the ball right back to Northwestern. Trey Demps hitting not one, but two big three-pointers to send that game into overtime and also into double overtime to give Northwestern life.
Yeah, the regular overtime, the two in the last 9 seconds when they were down by 6.
Yeah, yeah. It was,
that
I mean,
was unbelievable. And then they were throwing Michigan was firing the ball out of bounds.
Yeah, I mean, and those are just mental mistakes that just can't happen. And a lot of that responsibility does fall on Jim Boeheim John Beilein, excuse me. I'm still stuck on the Syracuse story. It falls on John Beilein because that comes down to coaching. In those late game situations, you have to be able to make sure that your team is poised and that, you know, they act like they've been there before. And Max Bielefeldt throwing the ball out awry. And then, you know, there was another turnover late in the game. Not fouling. I don't know why college coaches, or any coach for that matter, in the game of basketball, why don't you foul when you are up by three?
Been doing it for years like this.
Right, exactly. And if I'm a coach, I'm fouling every single time if I'm up by three with just seconds left on the shot, on the clock.
I don't have much hope of Rutgers beating them tomorrow, but if they lose to Illinois, which Illinois is going to need to get in the tournament, they should be. They won't be able to go to the NIT either if they have a losing record, right?
Right. They got to get above 500.
So.
Yep.
Go Illinois.
There you have that.
Get them Illinois.
All right, Ray. Appreciate the call, my man.
Thank you, buddy.
Oh, boy. I got to love Ray. Got to love Ray. Folks, if you want to weigh in on any of the discussion today, just like Ray just did, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call. Call in, and we'll patch you through right here live on the air. Well, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll be talking about the MSU women's basketball team as they are currently taking on Maryland as we speak. Number one, Maryland. And Maryland is actually number four in the entire nation. A tall order. We'll give you an update on how Susie Merchant and her team are doing right now. Also, we'll preview that Michigan State and Indiana game tomorrow at noon. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Kerr in Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Again, folks, we do have one more pair of tickets to give away for the MSU and Wisconsin hockey series that will be taking place starting tonight at Munn Ice Arena. If you've never experienced an MSU hockey game so far this year, we're giving you an opportunity to do just that. We actually have one winner so far, so we have one more pair of tickets to give away. Call in right now, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Well, folks, again, I always say this. March is one of my favorite months of the year. There is nothing like watching basketball in March because it's when the stakes become that much higher. It's when teams are actually playing for something, folks. And, of course, March Madness starts for the NCAA men's tourney starting on March 17th. So just days away now. I can't believe time is certainly flying. Actually, next week will be the Big Ten tourney for the men's game starting, I believe, on Wednesday. Next week, Wednesday, Alex and I will actually be hitting the road in Chicago to head to Chicago on Thursday morning. And we'll be giving you coverage throughout the weekend of next week. All on WKR.org, we'll have stories just about every day for you. And you'll get to hear our analysis of the multiple games that hopefully Michigan State can go pretty deep in that tournament. So we'll be giving you analysis of that, also different stories, post-game interviews, all of that starting next week, folks. And I tell you what, right now, the MSU women's basketball team, they are in action right now in their own Big Ten tournament. And right now it is halftime, and Maryland is actually leading Michigan State 33-24 at halftime. No surprise there. I mean, Maryland right now is the number four team in the nation. They are the number one team in the Big Ten Conference, the number one seeded team in the Big Ten tournament. But Michigan State, I tell you what, they fight. They fight, they fight, they fight, folks. Again, yesterday they got a big, big win over rival Michigan, a team that actually they were swept by Michigan. Two-game series throughout the regular season. They lost both of them to Michigan over throughout the course of the regular season. And, you know, I tell you what, the stars certainly aligned for Michigan State to play them a third time. Susie Merchant was certainly chomping at the bit to enact a bit of revenge. Seeing as though, I mean, Susie Merchant, if you ever met her, if you seen her in a press conference, if you seen her just on the sidelines during the game, she is one of the most competitive individuals you ever come across in life. And, you know, it's interesting. I was reading a few quotes in some of the transcript after the Michigan State win over Michigan yesterday in Hoffman Estates, Illinois. And Susie talked about how, you know, she would just be lying in the bed dreaming of possibly meeting Michigan for another time this year. And how angry Susie and the rest of this MSU women's basketball team was at the fact that they did lose to Michigan twice throughout the year. So, again, the stars aligned. They got that opportunity yesterday, and they took full advantage of it. You know, what's so alarming about yesterday's game is that, you know, Michigan State, you know, didn't just beat U of M. In many ways, they just kind of just blew them out. There was actually a 34-10 lead to start that game yesterday. And, you know, not, you know, I always harp on Ariel Powers, who has been absolutely fantastic throughout this year. I always talk about Tori Jankowska. She has also been fantastic this year as well. You know, Ariel Powers, she had 16 points, 15 rebounds yesterday. Tori Jankowska, you got 15 points from her. But, you know, it's other players, you know, that are stepping up as well. And again, this team only has 5 scholarship players right now that they're playing with. 5 scholarship players? I mean, there are a lot of teams out there that would completely fold if that was the case. I mean, you ever think about what if Tom Izzo only had 5 scholarship players? You know, what if Travis Trice and Denzel Valentine and Brandon Dawson were out most of the year and they had other injury problems? I mean, what if you had to rely on a regular basis a guy like a Kobe Wollanman? You know, I mean, well, just think about that. I mean, just imagine the type of success that the MSU men's basketball team would have if that was the case. But, you know, that's what makes it so remarkable about Susie Merchant and her team. I mean, they just don't stop. You know, it's a constant foot on the gas. And the thing about it is what I love and what makes Susie's team one of the most enjoyable squads that I've ever covered, you know, throughout my time here in Mid-Michigan, is that, you know, they're so positive. You know, amidst whatever adversity they seem to be going through. And they always have fun when they're on the court. And, you know, there were a lot of smiles, I'm told, that were on that court yesterday. And deservedly so. I mean, when you beat your rival in the Big Ten tournament, considering, you know, the lack of success you had against them throughout the regular season, you got to give hats off to them. But it's the other players stepping up here. Because, you know, besides Powers and Jankowska, I mean, what you got 11 points, 4 or 5 from the field, and 2 3-pointers from Becca Mills, who also has had a pretty consistent year overall. But then, you know, to go deeper, Lexi Gussert. You know, she had 4 first-half 3-pointers, folks. Lexi Gussert was fantastic yesterday. So, you know, to get away from Powers and Jankowska just for a sec, there have been other role players on this team that have played their role and done it very, very well. Players like Gussert, I mean, even Anna Morrissey. I mean, how about Anna Morrissey? I mean, stepping into a role where she has played starting point guard throughout much of this year and has done it pretty well. So definitely want to shout out those players as well. So Michigan State now, I mean, my goodness. What, they've won 5 of its last 6 games? That's pretty remarkable. Pretty remarkable stuff. They lost to Maryland twice this season, the team that they're playing right now. And again, Maryland is so good. So it's certainly a tall order and some very, very tough cards that they're being dealt right now. They may not make it to Saturday, but at the same token, I mean, you have to give your hats off to how this team has performed throughout the year. Susie Merchant doesn't give up. Yeah, all right, folks. So again, just a quick score update. Maryland leading Michigan State 33-24 right now in the Women's Big Ten Tournament at Hoffman States, Illinois. So, again, we'll keep you updated as that game proceeds all the way up until 2 p.m. Also, the Tigers and Mets have also – that game has also started. Spring baseball. Got to love that. Got to love that. All right. Well, let's shift gears now and talk briefly about the MSU men's basketball team. Again, Ray just called in and sort of talked about his concern when it comes to Brandon Dawson. A quick update is this was released yesterday. I'm sure many of you know this by now. A day after Brandon Dawson took that shot to the head against Purdue, Michigan State officially listed the forward as questionable for Saturday's game against Indiana. Of course, Dawson took an elbow from Purdue's Isaac Haas. Now, again, Michigan State right now, I mean, they're Oh, boy. I mean, you talk about Brandon Dawson. I always say that Brandon Dawson throughout the year, this team will go as far as Brandon Dawson takes them. He is the engine. He's the straw that stirs the drink, man. And it was that's what made that win against Purdue so remarkable, because I'm sitting there on the sidelines watching it take place. And, again, as soon as Brandon Dawson goes out that game, you know, I kind of looked around. I'm sitting there next to Audrey Dogg and Channel 6, and we actually looked around at the end zone. And, man, I mean, they're sitting there eyes wide open. I remember one girl had her hands, both hands on her face. And it was pretty cool because I talked to Travis Trice after that game. I'm like, you know, when that moment happened, when Dawson goes out, I mean, did you kind of put the team on your shoulders? Because that's exactly what Travis Trice and Denzel Valentine did in that moment. And he talked about how, you know, him and Denzel actually met center court and said, yo, we got to take over this game. And that's exactly what happened. Now, you know, you had guys like Matt Costello step up. Kobe Wollemann was absolutely great as well, because they were able to take Isaac Hass and A.J. Hammonds out of that game. And that opened up a plethora of opportunities for Michigan State to put the stake into the ground. So when you look at it, you know, Michigan State dealing with that adversity and able to pull out that win, remarkable. But can they do it again against an Indiana team that's certainly reeling, and an Indiana team and a Tom Crean team that knows that right now they are on the bubble? They need this win. They are at home. Wow. To not have Brandon, if Michigan State doesn't have Brandon Dawson tomorrow, whew, it's going to be a tough one. That is going to be a very, very tough game. Very tough game for the Spartans. But again, you know, I think Travis Trice is the guy who's shown that, man, I mean, he can put the team on his back. You know, if you need a big shot, I mean, Travis Trice, he had that eye of the tiger against Purdue, man, where he just said, hey, give me the ball. I'm about to take over right now. And that's exactly what he did. Denzel Valentine also hit some big shots down the stretch, and you got some production from Matt Costello that we haven't seen dating back to the beginning of the year for him. Folks, call in right now, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We got our good friend that we haven't heard from in quite a long time. My man Apachu is on line one. How you doing, Apachu?
I'm doing okay, man. I'm doing okay. You know, I didn't like Travis's game for the last few years. This year I fell in love with him. He's out of his mind. He is completely out of his mind.
Yeah.
He's in his own, man. If he takes that in the tournament, they got a chance of going someplace, Big Ten or the NCAA.
Yeah.
They need that, man. I just can't believe how much his game is improving. His mindset is just unbelievable.
Right. I agree, Apachu, because I tell you what, when looking at it, because he's also had an injury-plagued career at Michigan State.
That's what
but,
it was, man.
Yeah, you know, when I looked at Travis Trice in years past, I look at him, you know, he's not that big, not that strong, you know, an average-sized guard. Nothing really stood out to me about his game that would tell me that, man, I mean, you know, he could be a possible Big Ten player of the week, you know, throughout a year. But, I mean, he's definitely made me and many people eat their own words when it comes to that. He's been impressive all year.
Hey, I had a comment about the Syracuse investigation. First of all,
yeah,
you said it was a 10-year investigation. Now, did it take 10 years, or was it about the last 10 years?
I'm looking here. It took 10 years for them to finish the investigation.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's an injustice in and of itself, man.
Yeah, yeah. I'm reading right here. It says the NCAA finished its 10-year investigation into Syracuse Athletics. So, yeah, they've been probing in this for quite some time.
Yeah.
And I guess they wanted to just make sure again, as I said, their I's were dotted and their T's were crossed before they came out with a punishment. But, yeah, it's been going on for quite some time, Apachu.
That's ridiculous, man.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Anyway, I recall when his assistant coach was accused of some activity.
Right.
After the Penn State episode, and the young men that made those accusations, the head coach of Syracuse came out and called them liars. And then a few days later came out and apologized for what he said. In the meantime, all this stuff was going on. That's really sad to put those kids up against the wall and defame them in the public, and then turn on and in secret you're doing all this other stuff. He should be fired.
He
should be fired. I can't imagine you got all those incidents that are taking place and you're not being fired, which, again, they're protecting and worshiping the head coach, and that's got to stop. And the game is what's important, you know.
Right, right.
I saw the East Lansing Waverly game last night.
Mm-hmm.
Brother, that was incredible. That was a beautiful game.
I tell you, Apache, isn't East Lansing just a fun team to watch, too?
You know what I like about it? Now, this is the first time I've seen him. It's the first time I've been to a high school game in many, many years.
Right.
He plays like it's a city game.
Right.
He coaches like he's out of the hood. He was yelling, go, go, go. He was pushing the ball. constantly, even from restarts. He was pushing the ball, and when there wasn't nothing there, if there wasn't a primary, secondary break, he would pull out and they would run a half-court offense.
Right.
And they did a lot of dribble penetration, and I really liked that about them. In the first quarter, I think they got up like 12, 15 points, and I got ready to leave. I said, man, it's a blowout. Mm-hmm. And they started coming back, Waverly. And there's this kid named Gildo, and he's 6'3", and he out-rebounded East Lansing. I mean, he had so much attitude. He was slamming on the big man. It was incredible, man. And their guards were 5'5", and they came back and won that game. And I'm sure being at home had something to do with it, but I mean that in the sense that they were up for it because they had their fan support. But that was a beautiful, beautiful game. Yeah, and yes, they are fun to watch because they don't pull out the ball and run the half court and blah, blah, this and blah, blah. Hey, they put it to you, man. East Lansing will attack you and attack the basket.
And yeah,
I like that. And those kids ain't got to look over their shoulders every time there's a whistle to see if they're going to be pulled out.
Right.
I was really impressed with both coaches. I didn't think Waverly had a chance, but it was just a very, very phenomenal game to watch. It was very exciting. I think I'm going to start watching high school basketball again. I didn't realize, you know, it's been 15, 20 years since I've been watching it.
Mm-hmm.
These Cavs are a lot bigger and better than in the past, man. I used to watch a lot of games in California. Every team would have two or three guys that could make it in the Pac-10, whereas back in the old Capitol area circuit, they would have maybe one or two guys in the entire league that could play in the Big Ten.
Right.
But now you got one or two guys on each team that could probably play a big-time ball. I was very, very impressed. That was a wonderful game to watch. As far as the Bullies, I think considering all the injuries, I think their coach has done well.
He has.
Represented themselves well. The players have represented themselves well. And the other thing is that it was the free throws that lost that game. Michigan. They missed a free throw, their last free throw in regulation. They would have won. The guy wouldn't have been able to tie it up. They would have been up four, and they did the same thing in the first overtime, and they missed that free throw.
I agree. And you know what, Apache, on that same token, and again, going really briefly about, you know, the high school hoops in the area, I mean, every single year I feel as though this area, Mid-Michigan area, shows that there's a lot of talent on the hardwood. I mean, again, you got a Mr. Basketball candidate right here from the area, Trevor Manuel. I mean, it's fun to watch. And anytime you have Craig Fields and Steve Finnemore, two coaches who I love, some of my favorite coaches in the area, anytime you have those two guys together, they're so competitive, and they go at it, man. So, yeah, it's always fun.
Yeah,
and
it does not look like a high school game.
Right, it doesn't.
You know, I mean, it looks like a college game or even a pro game. They let them brothers play city ball, and I love it. I absolutely love it because that's the way the game should be played.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Let
them guys just play the game, and it was physical, man. It was nasty. It was beautiful, too.
Exactly. And I want to ask you, Apache, because I've been taking a poll just about all week, and the head coach of the East Lansing boys basketball team, Steve Finnemore, he has done extensive research on this topic. Whether or not to foul or defend when you are up by three and you know, the opposition has the ball with the shot clock off, do you foul or do you defend it out, Apache?
Well, they're saying on TV, the announcers, that you foul.
I agree.
That you foul, but you got to foul as he starts to go up.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, you foul before he gets to his shot.
Right, before he gets to his shot,
okay?
Right.
And back in the day, fouls like that, they would call intentional fouls. They don't call them intentional fouls anymore. But you foul before he gets it depends on the situation. I guess I ain't trying to coach. You know, I'm a painter.
Right. Exactly.
I mean, you see me out there, I'm going to be in my painter pants. I ain't going to try to one of them coach, you know. But anyway, man, keep on pushing. You guys looking good.
Thanks a lot, Apache. Appreciate that, man. All right, we also have a professor on line two right now. How you doing? Welcome to the show.
Thanks. I listen to you not every day, but periodically.
Oh, and what's your name? I didn't get your name through my feed here.
Coletta.
Nice to meet you, Coletta. Thanks a lot for calling.
I want to talk to you about this business of the treatment of athletes in class. And
yes, go ahead. Yes.
Okay, now listen to this. I have been on this faculty for 44 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I've only taught junior-senior courses, and I've had a lot of athletes in my classes, men and women, from various athletic programs. And I want to say that I have not, and the faculty members I know have not given any special treatment to the athletes. And in fact, many of us have numeric systems for grading, which include attendance. I do. I take attendance.
Mm-hmm.
And the provost's office requires that we report quarterly, I think it is, on attendance by the athletes in the class, whether and then how they're doing, and so that this can be reported back to their coaches. And we do that, and usually I have very good attendance by the athletes. I have had some where they've, you know, missed class, but that's like 5 or 10% of all I've ever had.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
As far as any special attendance options, the only ones I can think of is if they have a game, or I've had a number of baseball players, and during the spring practice when they're in, you know, out of state and so on, they are allowed to be given the time off from class. And as far as the grades are concerned, most of the athletes I've had have had very good grades. So I don't think that we can go on the reports of some of your friends.
Of course, right.
Yeah, okay.
Just speculation, talk, right.
Here's the thing. I don't want the audience to believe that this thing is rampant. And moreover, I have to tell you that when Saban was here, I was a mentor, I guess you would call it. It wasn't really like an academic mentor, but I would meet with my mentee, who was Paul Ettinger, the kicker at the time. And,
right.
he, you know, he went on to pro football and for 4 years. And I'd talk to him about his classes and his attendance and various other things and which ones he was having a problem with. And Saban was very interested in these things, and he was a very thoughtful person about the academic issues, at least with Paul, and I imagine with the rest of the players. And I'm sure our present coach is the same way, if not more.
Oh, certainly. You know, that's the thing. I mean, when you see a story like this, as a casual listener or as a casual sports fan, I mean, it opens that door for that conversation to happen. And, you know, there's also an investigation going on right now with North Carolina where, you know, it's being told to the media right now that there were classes set up for certain student athletes to take so that they can get that pass and pad that grade point average. I mean, as a professor, when you hear about stories like this, I mean, how disheartening is it for you?
Well, it is, and it's really kind of hard to believe that it went on. But don't forget, how about those grade cheating things we had at Harvard and, you know, some other things that have come up at various schools. So I think what I'm getting at is I think it's to some extent a school by school, but then it's even within particular departments, and that may allow something like that to go on. I can't imagine how it would go on here that we would have a special, you know, special classes.
Right.
Now there is a tendency for them to take some classes that they because of the timing. I know I would get a lot of baseball players because my class was in the morning and they could make the practices and things like that, and they were nearby the place where I taught, and sometimes they would come to class in uniform, or they'd come to my office in uniform and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So I can see that they have to make some kinds of adjustments like that, but I just find it hard to believe that they would set up special classes.
Yeah, it is tough, and it's certainly a conversation that is going to be had for quite some time. Now, we really appreciate this perspective, really appreciate that.
Okay.
All right, thanks a lot. Again, folks, if you want to call in, give your thoughts on anything that we've talked about here on the show or have yet to get to, we still got 10 minutes left in the show. 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We'll hit our second break here, and when we come back, we will wrap up the show with Reflection Friday and reflect on the week that was in the sporting world and beyond, and also give you a quick weekend outlook when it comes to the Detroit Pistons and Red Wings, don't touch that dial. You are listening to Curran Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to Curran Sports. Again, folks, our phone lines are open. Isaac, do we have another – we still got those tickets sitting?
Yeah, we've still got them waiting now. So callers, get the tickets.
I may be taking a date to the game if nobody calls, man.
I know. You'll get them.
Exactly. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Again, if you wanted to win tickets to the MSU and Wisconsin hockey game, call in right now. That's all you got to do. And the tickets are yours, folks. The tickets are yours. So that would definitely be a great weekend plan to just go see the MSU men's hockey team, of course, at Munn Ice Arena. All right, folks. Well, it is Friday. Man, I still can't believe it's Friday, dude. It's been such a busy week. So much going on. I just can't believe that there are no more basketball games that will take place at the Breslin Center. Done. Finito. Of course, senior day for the MSU men's basketball team was earlier this week against Purdue, 2 days ago to be exact. And also the MSU women's basketball team, they had their senior day last weekend. So, man, no more basketball at the Brez, but there is still plenty more basketball to be played. Right now, the MSU women's basketball team, they are in action right now. I don't know if, Isaac, if we can look up a score update later on. I'll go to Twitter in just a sec to make sure we get that score for you in our waning moments of the show. But while we're doing that, each and every Friday, we love to dub this Reflection Friday, where we look at the week that was in sports and bring to you our favorite stories, moments, maybe things we didn't get to right here on the show. Well, here we go. Without further ado, it is time for Reflection Friday. All right, folks, that's right. You hear the little piano riff. It is time for Reflection Friday. So let's look exactly at the week that was in sports and give you our thoughts on it. Now, I want to give a quick, again, I told about the score update. Of course, the MSU women's basketball team, they are in action right now. They are taking on number one seed in the Big Ten, Maryland, at the Big Ten tourney. And the scrappy Spartans, man, they still got a lot of fight in them. Reading a tweet here from their official Twitter account. They only trail Maryland 39-32 with 15:28 left to play in the game. So that game is actually taking place right now as we speak, on the Big Ten Network. So you can tune in to that game if you're close by a TV. Wow, what a game. But, you know, first off, you know, I want to, again, shout out to Susie Merchant and that team, because I think that one of the highlights of the week was Michigan State's win over Michigan, a team that they have been swept throughout the regular season, Michigan winning both games, and Michigan State beating them in Hoffman Estates, Illinois, yesterday. Big, big win for Susie and her team. And still, I mean, fighting against Maryland, that's unbelievable. Again, I tell you what, just think about that. Five scholarships to work with. Five. And you're still battling like that. Really, like, only seven healthy bodies in total. I mean, that's unbelievable. All right. Also, for my Reflection Friday, I want to bring up this brother because he's one of my favorite players in the National Basketball Association, and I really thought this was just a cool feel-good story. Feel-good story for your Friday, folks. Portland Trailblazers guard Damian Lillard. He's accomplished a lot of things, folks. He was NBA's Rookie of the Year. He's a two-time All-Star. And, folks, soon he'll be able to add a college degree to that list of accomplishments. Lillard, he finished the requirements for a degree in technical sales from Weber State University, and he talked at practice about getting his degree, and he calls it, quote, one of the greatest accomplishments of my life. Now, he finished the degree because he promised his mother that he would get one, and he says he forgot to tell her about it. Now, Weber State's 2015 commencement is on May 1st of this year. Lillard will likely be playing in the playoffs at that time, hopefully. So he may not attend the ceremony, but he still will get that degree. How about that? I mean, so many, and you know, to go deeper into the quotes, if you want to read his exact quote, the exact transcript from the quote when talking about his degree, he talked about how growing up, you know, in the neighborhood he grew up, he would always, you know, be around his friends, and they would say, man, yeah, I want to be a rapper. I want to be a basketball player. I want to play football, blah, blah, blah. But none of them talked about, you know, I want to go to college and get a degree. And he felt as though as the years passed on in his life, getting a college degree became more and more important to him. So shout out to Damian Lillard. I thought that was a very, very cool story. Also, folks, continuing my reflection Friday here, my Detroit Pistons, I tell you what, man, goodness gracious, they have now lost, four straight games here, and they're fighting for that eighth spot. Fighting for the eighth spot, but it seems as though they've hit a few roadblocks in a row. And right now, I want to call out the small forward position, because I feel as though when they traded and got, of course, Reggie Jackson on the team, and they let go of DJ Augustine and Kyle Singler, they are hurting at that small forward position. Caron Butler has to step his game up. So, Caron, step your game up, man. Step your game. I'm calling Caron Butler out right here on the show. So I just had to vent my frustration about my team, man. I've just been pulling my hair out. I've been pulling my hair out throughout the week on this team. All right. Also, I want to bring up Ronda Rousey. But it seems as though every time I turn on my television or turn on my radio, everybody's talking about Ronda Rousey. She is single-handedly bringing a lot of attention to the world of UFC. I haven't seen this much attention when it comes to fighting in general, whether it be boxing or the UFC world, since like Mike Tyson. You know, and now, of course, with the announcement of Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather Jr. fighting in May, I mean, of course, that story is going to garner a lot of attention. That fight is going to garner a lot of attention. But Ronda Rousey, I mean, she won her last fight over the weekend in 14 seconds. Unbelievable. I think she could probably beat up me. She would whoop my tail in the octagon, all right? So, Ronda Rousey, shout out to you, because she is definitely putting the spotlight, and a deserving one, on the woman's UFC fighting world. So I love watching her fight. She's fantastic and also has a great personality. And last but certainly not least, Dominique Wilkins, folks. He was honored in Atlanta. He is actually a statue. A statue was unveiled on the great Dominique Wilkins. Of course, he played for the Atlanta Hawks, longtime guard, one of the greatest basketball players of all time. And Larry Bird actually took a jab at Dominique after the unveiling. And this is why I love Larry Bird, because he will forever be one of the most competitive individuals the game of basketball has ever seen. And, of course, Larry Bird and Dominique, they had a very healthy rivalry. I think rivalries are honestly gone in the world of the NBA now. But Larry Bird took a jab at Dominique once he heard about the statue being unveiled in Atlanta. And he told Dominique, "I guarantee the statue isn't depicting you in a defensive stance." How about that? Alluding to Dominique not ever playing defense in his entire NBA career. So even during a moment where Dominique Wilkins is being honored, Larry Bird still had to deliver a bit of a left hook there. So gotta love that, man. Hats off to Larry Bird and Dominique, two of the greatest to ever grace the basketball court. All right, folks, we unfortunately are out of time. I want to give a shout out to all our callers for today. Ray, Apache, Claulette, professor here at Michigan State. Gotta love that. Thanks a lot, guys, for weighing in. Thanks to all of you for tuning in to today's show. You have been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Next week, we'll have a lot of tourney coverage for you, including district action for the boys' high school scene and also the girls' scene as regionals start next week. Take care and be easy, people.